This is podcast number 78 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I'm going to share a sample story from John Smith's life. As we start a new podcast season, I thought I'd try something a little different. I know that when you go to the Libraries of Hope library, it can be overwhelming. A lot of the titles and authors are likely to be unfamiliar. So I thought, what if I provide you with a daily sample and talk about the writers or topics as we go along? I'll post all of these kinds of podcasts on the landing pages of the various topics so that you can refer to them whenever you want. If you're using the Well-Educated Heart Planner, you can make a note of books you want to go back and revisit, either this time in the rotation or in the future. I'll try and keep them short, under 15 minutes. It's just a way to spend a few minutes together each day, and maybe it will spark an idea of something that you can share with your kids or something that you would like to study together. So, welcome to a brand new school year if you're following the rotation schedule. Exploration and discovery is one of our first topics, and what a perfect way to start the year. Today's daily sample comes from an 1879 book entitled Stories of American History, written by Nathaniel Dodge. You'll find it in the month 12 American Overview page, or just enter it in the search field. I've loved learning about Captain John Smith, and this sample is Chapter 3, The Hero of Virginia. And by the way, you'll find several great options to learn more about John Smith in the exploration section of the library. So here's Chapter 3. In the settlement of America, there were many heroes. Columbus was a hero. Some of the navigators who followed Columbus were heroes. There was Hendrick Hudson, who discovered the North River and gave it his name. There were the Pilgrims who settled Plymouth. There was William Penn, who founded the colony of Pennsylvania. They were all heroes. But in true heroism, not one was superior to Captain John Smith, who founded Virginia. Let us see. In the year 1606, when he sailed with 106 others in three ships from England to plant a colony in Virginia, he was only 27 years old. And yet, from boyhood, he had been engaged in adventures. He had built himself a hut in the English forest and hunted and studied there for 4 years. He had been to sea several voyages. He had been thrown overboard and escaped to land by swimming. He had fought in many battles on the ocean and on land and had several times been taken prisoner. He had traveled all over Europe, had killed three Turks in a single combat, and was made a major for his gallantry, had been captured and reduced to slavery, and, escaping at last, had wandered many days and nights in forests and deserts until he got back to England. There was never a braver man. Such a thing as fear he did not know. In the very worst, he was never disheartened. When a slave in Turkey, he won the heart of his mistress, who set him at liberty. And when a Tartar prince, who had set him to threshing grain, insulted him, he killed him and fled to the woods. All his life long, he was in one trouble or another, but he was never discouraged, never faint-hearted, and never lost his self-reliance. The three ships arrived safely at James River, and a town was founded called Jamestown. Houses were built, trees were felled, fields were planted, roads were opened, forts were constructed. The Indians were dealt with fairly. Every one of the colonists was set to work, and all the prospects were fair. Corn was sometimes scarce, and then Captain Smith, taking men with him, went among the Indians and traded for it. He explored the seacoast and made charts. He sailed up the rivers and planned them on maps. He went far into the Indian country and bargained with the natives for land, and he was never weary in his efforts to make Jamestown a great and prosperous place. To be sure, he had trouble. All men who are in earnest do. The colonists were sometimes idle, and he made them work. The Indians were often ill-tempered and quarrelsome, but he quieted them with presents or frightened them with guns. Many of the settlers wanted to go back to England, but he encouraged them with good words. Chief men in the colony revolted, but he brought them to obedience by good sense and firmness. And though for a time there was scant food and much sickness and many hardships, Captain Smith kept the people together by his brave heart. He often made journeys up the rivers in a boat, along the coasts in one of the ships which brought the colonists over from England, and up the country on foot, attended by three or four of his men. Upon one of these expeditions, he sailed up the Chickahominy. When the boat could go no further, he left her in charge of two of his men, telling them to keep watch, one to sleep while the other was awake, while he went farther. After he had gone, the men grew careless, and while both were asleep one night, the Indians killed them and captured the boat. Captain Smith knew nothing of this, but pressed onward by land, having with him an Indian guide. As he penetrated the forest, now ascending high mountains and then plunging through morasses and swamps, always observing where he went and mapping the way on bits of paper, some Indians attacked him, shooting their arrows. He then tied his guide to his arm and made a shield of him, knowing that they would not willingly shoot a comrade. But though not wounded, Smith was at last taken prisoner, and the savages led him to their chief, Powhatan. Powhatan was stretched out on a kind of throne of stones. Skins of wild beasts were spread around him. A blanket wrought with beads covered his legs. He had feathers in his hair and paint on his face. One of his wives sat at his head and another at his feet. Warriors stood near him, and altogether he seemed quite a king. Although he was greatly pleased with a pocket compass which Captain Smith gave him, and put on a shirt which the Englishman had brought, and decked himself with the beads and buttons the colonists had sent, and accepted a jackknife and brass ring and a string of bells and some red cloth and needles and thread from his prisoner, he determined to put him to death. So some of the savages seized the white man, bound him with green withes, threw him on the ground, and were ready to beat him with their clubs. Just at that moment, a woman's scream was heard. Powhatan started up. The warriors were startled. In an instant, a young Indian girl rushed from the crowd and threw herself on the prostrate victim. It was Pocahontas, the young daughter of Powhatan. "Kill me," she cried. "Kill me. You shall not kill him." The warriors did not dare to strike. Their blows would have killed the girl. Powhatan's heart was softened. He forbade the execution. Smith was unbound, and after a time he was allowed to go back to Jamestown. Here he found everything in confusion. Other ships with colonists had arrived. These newcomers were young gallants who did not want to work. They had heard there was gold in Virginia, and it was that they were after. But Captain Smith knew better. It was with infinite trouble that he persuaded them to settle down to felling trees and planting corn and building huts and making roads and erecting sawmills. Many were discontented. Some rebelled. A few went off into the woods and were taken by the Indians. But by energy and firmness, he finally succeeded in making all contented. Jamestown grew up to be a prosperous colony, but for Captain Smith, it would never have succeeded. He went back to England, returned with more colonists, and went back a third time. He was then created Admiral of New England, a country not then settled. The charts he published, the maps he made, and the books he wrote made the English people acquainted with America. He died in England at the age of 54. Pocahontas afterwards married a Mr. Rolfe. He took her to England. Everybody had heard of her heroism in saving Captain Smith's life. The people came in crowds to see her. When she rode through the streets, they cheered her. The queen sent for her, and she went to court. Beautiful presents were made for her. Great entertainments were given her. She was shown the shops and public buildings and churches and bridges and factories of England. Artists painted her pictures. Lords and ladies had her at their houses, so that the Indian girl became famous. She died just at the time she was about embarking for Virginia, and her little daughter grew up to be the mother of men and women who were afterwards famous in Virginia.